guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
What? You have never heard of Rachel's Remedy? Well, Rachel's Remedy was created by a mom who's been there and done that and understands exactly how important it is to be able to get relief from pain and discomfort without missing a beat. Rachel's Remedy offers products to relieve issues associated with breastfeeding or, hemorrhoid pain. Be sure to check out their breast relief packs, reusable antimicrobial nursing pads, and a true Twiniversity favorite, the Down There Relief Pack, which eases irritation from hemorrhoids and childbirth discomfort. For more information, visit our friends over at rachelsremedy.com.
Hey gang, it's Nat from Twiniversity, and we are back today. We are going to talk about preeclampsia and everything that comes along with it. So I don't know if you know this, but parents of twins have a higher incidence of preeclampsia. Why? We'll talk about that in a minute. What is it? If you don't know what it is, we'll tell you. We'll give you all the inside scoop. But more importantly, we're going to have two amazing personal stories. Mine, and Becky. So we're here with Becky, and it's Becky Bovley, and she is a mom to almost 3-year-old twinnies, Charlotte and Jacob. She's also a stepmama, so she has her hands full with babies. But in addition, she is also the amazing founder of Tea is for Tame, which is an all-natural hair care product, which, to be very honest with you, I am using literally this second. So I just, I got them a while ago. So first of all, Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. So you sent me some great products months ago. And I used it once, and then I put it someplace, and then my daughter stole the spray. And then recently, we just saw each other, and I really wanted to try the lotion or the cream or what do you call it? It's the taming what? The yellow one.
The yellow one is the taming matte cream.
The so taming matte cream.
Yeah, you apply it like you would like a pomade. So you rub it in your hair and then your hair.
That is what I was using. So Becky and I just saw each other down in Orlando for the Juvenile Products Manufacturers Association show. And for the whole time I was down there, and I don't know if you know this, Becky, but we always share a room. So the Twiniversity Mom Squad, it's like we just stay together and it turns into this crazy slumber party for days.
Oh, that's
and
so fun.
Julie had this pomade from Aveda. And so I was using it and I was like, oh man, this is so nice. I never used anything like this. And then you gave me the sample and I came home and I said, huh, I wonder. And so I used it and it worked as good as the Aveda stuff. And
oh,
so now I have been exclusively using it. Although the scent is like, it's not a juvenile scent, but it's very kid friendly scent. So it's funny to me that everybody's like, are you wearing baby powder? And I'm like, no, I said, it's my hair. It's my hair that you smell. That smells so pretty. So I love it. So thank you very, very much. I'm glad that the TSA let me get the cream home. It wasn't even a problem. They didn't even search my back. That was
great. That's great. That's great. It's a little bit under 4 ounces. So they usually kind of let it sneak through.
Yeah, I got through. Nobody questioned anything. Or maybe they don't care anymore. And I don't look like a suspect of anything. And they're like, oh, look at this woman. She's been beaten down by life. Just let her through. Yeah.
She has twins. They must know as you're coming through.
Exactly. So now let's talk about our big topic of the day. And let's talk about this whole preeclampsia thing. So you had it. I had it. I know a lot of people that did. So do you know, like, actually know, like, what it is? Or do you want me to read, like, what the description of preeclampsia is? What would you prefer? Do you know, like, how much ins and outs do you know?
I think you should read the description because it kind of came on very suddenly for me. I wasn't expecting it, so I didn't have a ton of time to read it. I was just kind of dropped into it. So maybe read it for people.
So what preeclampsia is? So preeclampsia is a condition that occurs only during pregnancy. Thank God. And some of the symptoms include high blood pressure, protein in your urine, and typically it really does occur after 20 weeks. And the only cure for preeclampsia is delivery. And also many times people after they have preeclampsia will continue to have hypertension post-delivery. And sometimes it takes your body a little bit to readjust. Now, Becky, I don't know if after I got diagnosed with preeclampsia and like the doctor would tell us, but honestly, just like you said, that it hits kind of late and there's no time to start Googling things. But I do remember that my doctor said that there's no cure except the delivery, but that there is a cornerstone, a literal cornerstone at the Mayo Clinic that's waiting to be like etched. The person who discovers the cure for preeclampsia will have their name etched in this cornerstone of this clinic.
That's
because there is still no cure for it. And something like that, and I don't know if it's just because where I live and I just assume that there's so many people, you know, that have things, and if there's going to be a cure for something, why haven't they found it? But when my doctor told me that, I was like, crap, like it's this big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So how did you find out that you had it? When did it start showing yourself? And tell us the little story of you and your puppies.
Oh, sure. So I, around 6 months or so, my legs started to swell. And it started with my feet, and then I couldn't wear my shoes, and then it moved up to my calves, and then before you know it, my thighs were touching, and, you know, I'd go to the doctor's appointments, and they would check my blood pressure, and I, you know, every appointment you go to, you have to pee in the cup, and there was no protein in the urine, and my blood pressure was fine. So I just kind of continued on like that, waddling around, not really being able to move my legs, but, yeah, I didn't think anything was wrong until... I was at 35 weeks and the only way I can describe it is I felt off. I felt like I was coming down with a cold or there was something wrong with me. I was lightheaded. I just didn't feel well. And one of the things that I told the doctor is, the dog tried to run away and I ran out the door to try to catch him and I felt like I was going to faint. And what I know now is all of that was my blood pressure was so hot that my body wasn't able to adjust to it. So I called the doctor. She said, come into the ER. And I said, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then the next day I had a doctor's appointment with her and she tested my blood sugar and she said it was at stroke level.
Oh, God.
Blood pressure. And I had protein in the urine. So, yeah, she's like, the babies are coming out today.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a ton of warning, but I do regret not. I should have gone to the hospital that day. I knew something was wrong, you know? And I tell moms every which way that I can that you know your body and you know if something is wrong and you should it and not wait. Because, you know, if I didn't have that doctor's appointment the next day, like, it could have gone terribly wrong. So...
Oh my God. It's so ridiculous because we talk ourselves out of so many things, right? So in Twin University classes, I always say that you got to trust your gut and that I know you may be like, well, I feel these things. Let me go to Dr. Google and let me see what it says. And then you're I don't really have any of these things. And you dismiss things. And then you're like, crap, I missed it. So for you guys, some symptoms of mild preeclampsia are high blood pressure, water retention, and protein in the urine. So like Becky said, her legs were swelling. So a lot of people, sometimes our legs swell and you're like, what's the big deal? So what I always, that there's kind of a difference between swelling and edema. And edema is what's going to be this whole, you know, rearing its ugly head of preeclampsia. So if you take your hands and push your fingers into the swelling, if your fingers stay indented, like your little fingerprints stay indented into any portion of where the swelling is, you got to call your doctor ASAP because the blood starts, not the blood, the water starts to pool up in your legs because of gravity, but it really is like your heart's like, I can't do it. It's like, you know, the little, I think I can, it's a little engine that could, but it really can't. So if your heart's not pumping correctly, it can't move this fluid through your body. And with pregnancy, we already have so much freaking fluid in our body that it's harder for our hearts to work as it is. And now let's add the whole fact of the multiple birth pregnancy. So there are some people who have a higher risk factor And Becky, I'm curious to know if your doctor even explained to you what it was and if you were in a category. Like at any time, at any visit, did your doctor say, okay, well, are you a first-time mom? So here, I'm going to go over the checklist that I want your doctor to go over with you. Are you a first-time mom, Becky?
I am a first-time mom, and I was going to ask that.
Okay. And then an experience with hypertension?
No experience with hypertension.
Did your mom or sister have preeclampsia or sisters?
No.
Okay. Are you carrying multiple babies?
Yes.
Are you younger than 20 or older than 40?
No.
And have you had any prior kidney disease or any kidney problems?
No.
And do you, well, I know you don't, but do you have a BMI greater of 30?
No.
Okay. So these are what the doctors should be asking. So right there, boom, we have the multiple babies and we're a first-time mom. We now already have a higher chance of developing preeclampsia during our pregnancy. Now, when I found out about my preeclampsia, I never thought, like, nobody asked me any of these, by the way. So I don't want you to think if your doctor hasn't, that it's weird, but like, you know, a lot of things you could say that would be part of a medical history, like a doctor would know if you had a BMI higher than 30, a doctor would know what your age is, a doctor would know if you had a prior kidney disease or something like that. But the doctor may not know if your mom or sisters have preeclampsia, and that is a big deal. So, Becky, what's hilarious is that after I deliver the babies and I'm like, you know, in the ICU, and my mom's like, you know what's funny? I had preeclampsia with you.
Wow.
Becky, wow. I wanted to literally do a karate chop in her throat. I was so mad at her.
Oh, wow.
I was like, Mom, you just remember now?
When she told you that, did you even know at that point that it increased your risk?
I did know. I just assumed. I assumed that if she had something and I had something, because I know that my aunt has migraines and my mom has migraines and I have migraines. So like thinking about that, I was like, well, maybe this is connected. And of course, when I spoke to my doctor, the doctor's like, yeah, it would have been good to know. But honestly, there's not much they could do because it's only, you know, it's only a greater chance. If it hits, it hits. There's nothing that we could do to prevent it from hitting.
Right. Right.
Oh my gosh. But you were getting the blurred vision, or you didn't, or you had the headaches, or what else did you have?
I had headaches and a little bit of the blurred vision. I think the other thing I wanted to mention too is, you know, toward the end, they make you come in for appointments every week or every other week. I can't remember at this. So that was also one of the things that I felt fine. Right. So my appointment, I went to make the appointment and they were booked. So of course I was like, oh, it's fine. I'll come in a week later. And I was already at 34 weeks at that point. So I could have been walking around all of that time, you know, with those issues. And I didn't know that either. So just another thing to keep in mind with the multiple pregnancy is just, you know, figure out a way to get in there when you're supposed to get in there to see the doctor and not postpone those appointments.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that was something that it all happens for a reason. And I'm glad I was able to carry the twins as long as I did. But
yeah.
It would have been nice to be monitored if something was going on sooner, because I didn't know.
No, unfortunately, I had a lot of symptoms. So the signs of severe preeclampsia. So if you guys are listening to this and you have some of these, this may be a little 911-y, just saying. So the signs of severe preeclampsia are headaches, blurred vision, inability to tolerate bright light, like if you really did have a migraine, which I always assumed, by the way, that I was getting migraines during my pregnancy, never associating it with anything. Fatigue, which is hilarious because so many of us are tired just when you're carrying two babies. You have nausea, vomiting, urinating in small amounts. That's another, like, doctor may say, how's your peeing? And you're like, oh, it's fine. But if you're taking like small little bathroom breaks instead of a typical bathroom break, you want to tell your doc. Pain in the upper right abdomen, which I'm going to talk about that in a second, shortness of breath, tendency to bruise easily, and call your doctor immediately if you experience the blurred vision, severe headaches, and abdominal pain. So these are like things you guys can't ignore. Becky, I ignored a few of them, as did you. And we're not morons. We're very intelligent women. And what the hell happened to us that we were like, oh, it's fine, because I ignored mine too. Oh, it was horrible. Why did we do this to ourselves? So with me, in addition to the preeclampsia, I had something called HELLP syndrome. So for me, I got like the next level preeclampsia because I am a true overachiever. And so what that is, so the thing is I actually think that I was no longer preeclamptic. I think I had eclampsia and they were watching me for seizures towards end. Yeah, no, I was there. I was on morphine for my delivery. Like I remember they were giving because of the pain. So with this HELLP syndrome, it's a condition that occurs always later in the pregnancy and it affects the breakdown of red blood cells. And so it affects your liver function. So my liver was pretty much failing and I had this pain. And apparently you could have liver pain. I didn't know that I would be able to feel liver pain, but I had liver pain. And so the pain was so excruciating that I could remember before I went to the hospital and smartened up, but I could remember sitting in what would be the twins' nursery and having this pain in the morning, and I didn't want to wake my husband up. And I would say, like, this is when I also know that I'm super nuts, but I would look at my leg and I would say, you know what? If I cut my leg off, then I won't have, I'll feel that pain instead of this pain. Like, wow. This is like, that was a literal thought that went through my head. Like, if I dismember myself, then, because I wanted to carry these babies. So I'm like, what can I do that will make them not deliver them?
Wow.
Right? Because I started getting pains at 27 weeks. So preeclampsia started showing itself for me at 27 weeks. And I initially just thought that I ate too much. So like you went.
You just did it feel like indigestion at first? Or?
Yeah, because that's when your liver starts to swell. I didn't know what that felt like. Like, how the hell do you know what your liver feels like? I was like, oh, it's gas. And I always had bad gas and I had bad reflux through my pregnancy, but it was torturous. Do these tests and they'd be like, everything looks okay and we're going to send you home. But at 27 weeks, we went into the hospital. And in addition to this extraordinary pain, I was also having contractions. So my body was already like, we got it. Like, this is, we got to finish this up. Like, something's happening. And I'm like, no, I don't want to deliver at 27 weeks because I don't think anybody says they want to deliver at 27 weeks. But it was so, so scary. So now you have these issues. And so you're in the hospital when they find out at that doctor's visit, like, oh, crap, your stroke level, high blood pressure. What was the next thing that they did for you?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I'll just say I'm an idiot. They said, let us call you an ambulance. You should get to the hospital immediately. And what did I do?
You're like, no, I'll walk.
Yeah.
Oh, Becky.
Yeah.
Why are you making me yell at you? Oh my God.
I mean, I'm in the city and it's Mount Sinai and it's right there. I'm fine. I'll walk. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you literally walk. So from where to where? Like the equivalent for people who don't live in an urban area, what would be like the mileage equivalent from your doctor to the hospital? How many blocks?
About half a mile.
So like, 10 blocks.
About 10 blocks. Yeah. I walk through the park, if that helps you, if that helps city people.
Worse. That's worse because if you would have collapsed in the middle of Central Park.
Yep.
Oh my God. I'm massaging my head right now from the frustration that I can't believe you did that to yourself. And I'm so thankful that you made it to the other side of the park.
I made it to the other side. I was busy, calling, you know, family members, my husband, everybody come meet me. We're going to have the babies early because, you know, when you get to be 35 weeks with twins, you just want them out. So although I wanted them to be healthy at that point, I was just like, okay, great. We're going to do this.
So
then I get to the hospital and, I'm trying to remember if they told me it was stroke level at the hospital or at the doctor. I just know at the doctor, they all seem really concerned and they wanted to call an ambulance. So I get to the hospital and everyone's kind of running around. And the first question they say to me is, when's the last time you ate? because they wanted to do an emergency C-section.
Yes.
And of course I just had lunch. So so we had to wait until that evening. And then they, you know, gave me a shot to increase the lung size for the babies. And the good news for me is that before I went to my doctor's appointment that morning, I did a scan and they scanned the babies to see how big they were. So I wasn't really concerned about their size because that scan told me that they're both around five pounds, which isn't, you know, terrible, but it's okay. So I felt like it would be okay to deliver. So that was it. And then it was, you know, waiting basically until I digested the food and they brought me in for the emergency C-section right away.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. It's so scary.
I'm so scared
for you. I'm so glad that I didn't know that was happening for you. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. And oh my God. The C-section itself was, you know, I'm not, you know, obviously you can talk about yours, but it was pretty scary. I mean, you know, the doctor was talking about blood and there was a lot of things going wrong during the C-section, but I'm here and I have my two beautiful babies, which is the most important part, but I would have done a lot of things differently if I just had, and I, you know, I took your class. Like you said all of these things. It's not like I didn't hear them.
We still ignore them.
You ignore them. You think that it's not going to happen to you. And you know, it does. It does happen.
I'm so upset. Like I'm more upset now because I think about no matter what I do, right? And even all the people that are going to listen to this, there's still going to be a lot of people who do exactly what we did.
Yep.
You know, and that is really frustrating. And I hope that people realize that. That's why, like in class, I don't know if you remember, but I always say to the husbands, like, you have the OB's phone number because like you guys could call. Or maybe that's part of new. Well, no, I think I would have been saying that 3 years ago.
You did.
But I'm making sure. Because it was my husband who made the call first for us. So I'm thankful. But he called from my phone. And I was like, don't do it. It's fine. I'm going to be fine. I wasn't fine. Now, riddle me this. And this is another crazy thing. Because you had such significant preeclampsia, after the babies were born, how long were you in the ICU?
3 days.
That's what I'm freaking saying.
It was awful. It was awful.
And so you didn't get to see the babies for a while.
No, they would bring them to me there.
Oh, well, that's good.
And
so they weren't in the NICU.
They weren't that, but that was a blessing, right? Like
that
they weren't
really
in the NICU.
Was because you got to see them.
Yeah. So they would be able to bring them to me. They both, they spent maybe like an hour or two in the NICU and then came right out because they were both fine. So I was super lucky. But they would bring them to me, but they couldn't stay with me. You know, they were only there for like an hour or so. And it was so torturous because I'm hooked up to a million machines. They're testing my blood sugar or my blood pressure every hour. It's going off. So I'm not sleeping. And then they have those things on your legs to like basically pump the fluid around to try to get it out. And you're literally laying there for 3 days, not sleeping, exhausted. You want to see your babies. My blood pressure wasn't going down. It took three days. And then when I left the hospital, I was on a bunch of medication. And then to be honest with you, it's never gone back. I don't know if that
me neither.
Yeah.
No, I'm still taking, two different things now. So take a water pill and some additional something. I don't know what the hell it's called. I probably should know, but I was on for a very long time after the babies. And I remember that they kept me on I had to go to a cardiologist. I was taking this one medication. And then at one point I remember I was walking the twins in the stroller. And for you city folk, I was literally on the corner of Bleecker and Houston. I was on the corner of Mott and Houston. And I was falling and I was holding on to my double stroller. And I felt like I was passing out. And I'm like, I can't pass out with the babies in the street. So then I get home, right? Because God forbid I just call somebody from there. No, I finish my journey home. I snap out
Sounds
of it.
Sounds familiar.
I get home and then I tell my husband, I'm like, something's up. I was passing out on the street. And then I went to the doctor and then my blood pressure was too low.
Wow.
Because I was taking too much medicine.
Right.
So then we had to play the game called what could Nat take? And so still to this day, they put me on two separate ones. Although there's a pill that does both, the doctor's like, we need to keep you on two separate ones. So for the past 14 years, I've been playing, do I need this extra pill today? And so now it's up to me to decide. So I look at how swollen my ankles are. I feel like how lightheaded I feel. But see, now in addition to the preeclampsia, this HELP syndrome crap is why I was told to not have more children. People who have HELP syndrome have up to a 52% chance of getting it again. And so once you know that you have this kind of marker, like the doctor came in my room and was like, that's it, man. You can't roll that dice again. But I really wanted 6 kids. I know that sounds crazy, but I wanted like a giant brood. And I only wanted 6 because I figure I could fit that in a minivan, because a minivan would seat 8. So I was like, okay, I want 6 kids. I want a giant family. And the day after, no, maybe like 3 days after the delivery, I was sitting in the hospital room. I was laying down and they let me have a room by myself because I was so sad. And I already had postpartum, like significant, because I'm like, I let these babies down. My body, you know, failed me and I couldn't hold them in me and they're in the NICU and like all these horrible things were going through my head. And then of course the doctor walks in and was like, listen, I just want you to know that when I retire, your delivery will be the one that I remember.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, don't tell me that. I was like, don't say that. I was like, I want more. And she knew I wanted more kids too.
Wow.
And she's like, you can't do that again. She's like, you really can't. So in addition to the HELPS and the preeclampsia, I also have a blood clotting disorder. And so that was apparently the straw that broke the camel's back. So all those things combined. So there you go. Listen, Becky, if I was able to have the 6, odds are Twin University wouldn't exist. And that's really the truth.
You certainly would not have time for Twin University.
No, I would have. Sure. I would never have even thought about it. There was like, if that's how, you know, I felt very unfulfilled even after the twins, and I wanted this big herd. And so I started writing about it. And so before Twin University was Twin University, I had a blog called, it was tiredtwinmom.com. Okay. And so that was where it started. And then I'm like, you know what? This is dumb. Why am I not writing this and sharing this with everybody? And that's really where Twin University came to be.
I'm thankful did. It certainly helped me. Although I didn't listen to you with the preeclampsia, but I regret it. I hope
no, nobody does. Becky, it's not you. Nobody listens to me. You can lead a horse to water, as I tell most of my students who I hear are like, we didn't know. And sometimes it happens also. You know, like they'll say, oh, I didn't know that I could do this. But I'm like, your hospital was supposed to tell you that. Why didn't you listen to them there? Oh my gosh. So you're still on blood pressure medication now.
I am. Yeah. You know, I went to a doctor's after and he basically said, you're going to be on blood pressure the rest of your life. So just plan on it. But the thing that's interesting is, you know, I talked to him obviously. And then I talked to Dr. Google. And it's not like they say that there's a additional risk factor after having preeclampsia that I could find. My doctor said no, but it just seems weird because I find so many moms that had preeclampsia, they all say that they now have to take blood pressure pills. So I don't know. It seems like there's some kind of relationship there, but I'm no doctor.
Oh, definitely. 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 And so what I was told was that a pregnancy is the window into your future. Oh. And so you go, like your body goes into this like hyper state when you're pregnant. So people who have preeclampsia, we will forever be cursed with high blood pressure and other types of heart disorders. So we actually have a higher incidence of having heart disease and needing a bypass at some point in our life. Good times.
Oh, fun.
And, yep. Good. And my mom did, by the way. So she did have a triple bypass, all that crap. So she's living my future. And then if you have gestational diabetes, you're also predisposed to having issues with your blood sugar for the rest of your life.
Wow.
So it's like this whole, anything that happens in your pregnancy, if there's something that pops up, there's a very good chance you'll see it again. But so nuts. Isn't it?
This
crazy?
Is making me want to go back and go over my pregnancy. It was not the greatest pregnancy. I will say that. The last 3 months of it, I had to get blood transfusions.
Jeez.
Did you have this at all with the HELP?
I didn't want a blood transfusion. I don't know why. I needed a blood transfusion super bad. Like if you ever find on the Twin University website, there may be one or two pictures of me the first time I held the kids. and you could see my veins.
It was super white.
Yeah, it was blue roads in my arms, like with me holding her. And I did not realize, everybody knew what I looked like. And everybody's like, you need a transfusion. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Bring me a hamburger and some spinach. I'm not doing it. I don't know why. I was so like, I say it was the postpartum. I really do, because I felt like it's another level of failure. Yeah. If I need to get somebody else's blood. So you needed blood for the whole end of it?
Yeah. I had to see a hematologist. And because there was something wrong with my iron and no one could tell me, I was getting these transfusions, and I was, you know, I tried with the spinach and all of that at first.
Yes.
But it wasn't helping any of the iron levels. And then they were giving me iron infusions and blood transfusions to get it up before I delivered, because they were really afraid that I would need transfusion during the delivery. So, yeah. So,
oh my God,
it was pretty tough there at the end. So now you're making me think I gotta figure out what that was. So, you know, in 20 years, I know.
Well, that's iron. I mean, that's your red blood cell count. You could keep an eye on that. You may be anemic forever. And yes. The kids too. Yeah. Like, that's another thing. Like, I think about my daughter and I'm like, oh my God, like, did I give this to her? Maybe I shouldn't have had kids. Do I have like some bum genes that I'm going to pass to this kid? And now oh my God. Because
we've all got bum genes. I think it's just a matter of which bum gene you're passing on, right?
Oh my God. This is so stressful. This is why I never talk about this. And so when I knew that we were talking about this, I'm like, why are we doing this? We could be talking about hair care. I could be so much happier right now talking about hair untangling. Oh my God. But guys, I do want to let people know that, like, it is so, like, Becky and I are really, really lucky. We have had some maternal deaths in Twin University from preeclampsia. So I will tell you the very truth about that. And if that scares the shit out of you in plain English, even though I've been saying poop this whole time, I'm letting it fly now. If that scares you, it should scare you. And so there are up to 76,000 maternal issues each year. And some of them are including, you know, infant deaths or maternal deaths. And it's horribly, horribly unfortunate that this happens. Why it happens, we don't know. How to prevent it, you can't. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But it's so important to listen to what your doctors say. And even if your doctor's like, oh no, everything's fine, go to another doctor. Get a second opinion. Nobody thinks that during pregnancy you could go for a second opinion. You can. If there's something in your gut screaming like Becky's was, even though she totally ignored it, you could go for that. You could take yourself to urgent care. You could buy yourself a home blood pressure monitor. There are things that you could do, and we really, really need you to do them. Oh, I get so nervous.
I totally agree.
Oh my God, Becky.
I have to send you my before and after photos of my legs. You have to see them.
I can't even imagine. I can't.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I will never forget what it was like, but I feel like other moms should see, you know, like when you're talking about swelling and listening to your body and all that, it was a sight to see that somebody went around walking around like that for 3 or 4 months thinking they were fine.
I purposely did not take pictures because I knew I would never want to see it.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
You said you had postpartum too. So I'm sure that was part of
not wanting
to remember.
Horrible. Horrible. Yeah. The whole thing, like, it's amazing that I live in the twin world every day, when really, if I start thinking about it, I just want to crawl underneath my bed, not under the covers, but literally under the bed and just live there and watch Netflix. That's it. I'm an expert at that now too. I'm an expert Netflix watcher. And but yeah, send me the pictures of your feet. And then when we post this, we'll use it as like the picture. Because people, you guys will never believe it unless you've had it, and then you'll believe it. But there weren't shoes that fit me. And I remember I had to have slip-in isotoners because I couldn't even wear flip-flops because my foot wouldn't go into the wedge. That's how swollen my feet were. So I could wear these isotoners. And by the way, I delivered in December. So picture me running through the streets of Manhattan with isotoner slippers on. Thanks to isotoner. Not brought to you by Isotoner, but I probably should call them now and be like, There's a partnership there, Becky.
Isotoner for fat twin feet.
For giant twin feet. When your feet won't fit in shoes, Isotoner will be there for you. I also want to tell all the listeners that I'm taping this from my car and Becky's home. And so now there's a guy on the road and he's doing exercises and he's looking at me like, why am I shouting in my car when it's not even turned on? This is where I'm going to get a letter from the homeowners association saying, please do not conduct business in your driveway. It's disruptive to the runners on the block. Well, Becky, this really honestly has been very, very, very eye-opening. And I promise you, we're going to do, if you're willing, I do really want to do a much happier topic with you. And I want to talk about hair care because it's one. So like I said, Becky is from T is from Tame, in addition to being one of us. But I remember when my little chick was born, she had the rat's nest head. And so Becky has a product that will help you help your kids so that you don't have to drag a comb through their hair and then they start crying. I tried really, really hard. Oh, apparently my family's leaving right now. I'm watching them get in the car in front of me. They're not even waving to me. Thanks, everybody. See? All the things I do for them.
The struggle of the twin mom.
Oh my God. This is what happens. Well, we will be talking about hair care next. And good news, guys, if you have any more questions for Becky or if you want to see a picture of her feet before they're released, you could find her as T is for Tame. It's a website, right? So you could go to www.t, the letter T is for Tame, or you could find her on social, on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere in between at T is for Tame. So if you have more questions, you could send them to her. And like always, if you have anything for me, you guys know where to find me. I am the most easily found person in this little, what is this called? Community. But yeah, you guys could call me, you could send me an email, whatever. We're on social, Twiniversity at every place. And if you would care to have a relationship with me forever, like Becky does from the time that she was a student, I would love to have you in class too. Just go to twiniversity.com classes. Becky, I love you. We're going to get through this.
We are. And hopefully we got other moms to think about this too. So
I really hope we did. I really hope we did. So right, yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
You got it, Becky. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening. I hope you guys have the best day ever. Make it count and don't ignore things or listen to Dr. Google. Go to a real human. They even have like virtual urgent care on so many hospitals now. Get on that, kids. All right, guys, have the best day ever and thanks for listening.